Once again, it is great. I love the new year.
I love the anticipation of a new year. I love the hard reset that it provides. I love goal setting. I asked this in my church. I probably asked you guys this last year. I'll probably ask you guys this next year, but I asked this in my church when I was in Tennessee and like three people raised their hands. And then it was like, oh, okay. So I'll ask this here. And don't just raise your hand now because you're like, well, I don't want Pastor Matt to feel bad. Okay. But how many of you set New Year's resolutions or New Year's goals? Okay, we got a few. Okay. some are like, oh, you know, don't be shy. Don't be shy. I love it. I love thinking through the anticipation of the new year. It excites me. It thrills me. I mentioned earlier that sometimes we can look back and maybe you're excited about 2024 because you're excited about the fresh start. Maybe there's some burdens. Maybe there's some hurts that you're... Maybe 2023 was a hard year for you. And so you look forward to 2024 because it's a fresh start. Maybe you look forward to 2024 because maybe 2023 was good and you say, hey, I'm ready for another good year. But however, whatever end of the spectrum you're on, I want us to consider this, and this is the title of my message this morning, is an intentional look for the year ahead. An intentional look for the year ahead. We're going to divert ourselves away from Matthew this morning. We'll get back there next week. But go to Proverbs chapter 4 this morning. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and we're going to find ourselves in verse 20. In these eight verses, we're going to look at a positive thing, a negative thing, and then a plan. So a positive thing, a negative thing, and then a plan ahead. I'm going to read these verses and we'll have a word of prayer. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Dear gracious Heavenly Father, teach us the things that we need to learn. Help us that they would not just impact our mind, but our heart and our actions. Lord, I pray that as we, in this message, take an evaluation and inventory, Lord, that we would also make a plan and action to make a change of direction. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how many of you email inboxes fill up with a number of things, but around this time of year, my bank and then along with some other bank accounts, they always send a year end. You know, here's five things to do with your money before the year ends, and they're all kind of like you know, what to do with your money to do taxes here or taxes there, whatever. And so it's kind of, I don't read them. I usually just delete them, but what they want you to do is for you to evaluate your finances. Did you, you know, tax, I don't want to say tax shelter because that's a bad word, right? Tax savings, your money, or you, do you have a budget? Often this time of year, children come home with what they used to call progress reports or grade cards. And simply what a progress report or grade card tells you is how you're doing. Nowadays, as I talk to some of the teenagers here and teens in when I was in Tennessee, now parents can log on and they can tell, you know, you can get a parents can get progress report every day if they wanted. But when I was in school, you know, it only come out once a quarter of, okay, you have a B or a C or a D. Why do they skip E? You ever think of that? Anyways, I don't know. Maybe something for you to peruse this afternoon. But a progress report, or even these things that maybe your bank sends you or your investment company sends you, end of year money review, they want you to take an evaluation. They want you to look at what you're doing, and maybe you can look at your finances and you say, ooh, it says I'm doing well. You know, I look at mine and it says I can retire when I'm 88 years old. So, or maybe as a child, you can look at your progress report, or rather more as a parent, you look at your child's progress report and you say, you know what, they really need help in reading or math, or they need help in history. This morning, I want us to be open and honest with ourselves with an intentional look towards next year. And so I'm going to give you a few things here. And then at the very end, I'm going to give you some very practical steps that you can use to help make some changes. First of all, as we look at this passage here, the very first thing we see, if we're going to intentionally look at it next year, is number one, we need to place a high authority on God's Word. If you want, as a Christian, if you want to say, I really want to grow in this next year, I want to become closer to God, the very first thing you need to do is place a high priority on God's Word. Let's look at what Solomon was trying to get across to his son. You see here in verse 20, first of all, very personal, my son. You could put your name in there. If I put my name in there, it says, Matt, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. I've already described this kind of picture to you before, but pardon me as I do it again. It's this idea of intense listening, incline, you know, really lean in to really hear what the Lord has for me. I'm not just going to casually listen. Nowadays, as people watch TV, and maybe you've seen other people do it, you sit down with a family member or a friend, and I do this too, and you sit down to watch a movie. Well, that's not enough entertainment. You got to sit down, watch a movie, then you got to get on your phone. It's called multitasking. It's very productive. How do we approach God? Do we approach Him just kind of hodgepodge and just kind of multitask? Or do we zero, we really zero in? Maybe you've had the opportunity, and I would say this may be a privilege, to be in somebody's hospital room when they're at their deathbed and they know it's the end and you know it's the end, and this person has the ability to maybe impart some final words, and you really listen intently. You're really listening to, okay, this might be the last thing I hear. This is how God wants us to approach His Word. Listen to me. Incline. Give me your ear. Allow me to speak to you. Children are the best at this when they know that you're not listening. I have a now 4-year-old. Emmett's birthday is today. And he, you know, listen, Daddy. And I'm trying to maybe do something else. Well, that's maybe not satisfying for a 4-year-old. And in all honesty, we know what it's like when someone's not listening to us, right? You ever try to talk to someone and they're on their phone? Once again, God is saying, I want you to really zero in on what I'm saying. I want you to listen to my word. Solomon is I don't want to say begging, but pleading with his son. Son, I'm imparting some wisdom here. Are you going to listen? If we are going to intentionally be a Christian in 2024, we need to listen to God's word. There are so many other things out there that we can listen to. There is pop psychology. There is the 24-hour news cycle, whether it's CNN or Fox News. There's politicians. There's sometimes even our friends and our family. But Christian, this right here, God needs to be the loudest voice in your life. Because you will follow the loudest voice. Sorry to use a negative illustration, but how do you think Hitler got so many people to follow him? He said it loud enough and repeated it enough that people believed a lie. Here we have truth. Are you listening? Are you tuning in? Are you listening intently? Lord, what does your word says? How can I see God in this passage? God, what are you saying to me in my life? Verse 21 says, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. We can maybe make an application there for a memorization, and though that would be appropriate, but also keep them close. Keep them close. Allow them to impact you. Allow them to change you. Be humble when you come to God's word. Let us not come to God's word as simple religious duty. Tomorrow is January 1st, and maybe you're saying, I'm going to read the Bible through a year, or in a year. Great goal. Great. And there's multiple ways you can do it. Great goal. I don't want to discourage that. But I can read something and it not impact me. Since we already had another school illustration, I'll use another. You ever have those SATs and then there's a reading and comprehension. And you read it and then you're supposed to, once you're done reading, you're supposed to put the whole reading material aside and then answer questions. So it's not a speed reading competition. It's called reading and comprehension. And as you begin to answer the questions, you think, okay, what was the name of the boy in the story? And you know the reading material is already set aside. You can't go back and look at it. So when we read the Bible, or since we can inspect this last year, what have you retained from 2023? You've done the reading of 2023. What have you comprehended in 2023? What truth has changed your heart and your life? What attribute of God that you saw in your reading of Scripture last year that has done something to change you? Or do you look back on your reading in your Christian life of 2023 and you say, I was in church, I did my Bible reading, and then I say, what's changed? How has God moved you? And your response is, well, I read my Bible every day. I didn't ask that question. I said, how has God changed you? Well, you know, I got all the way through Genesis through Revelation. How has God changed you? You know what, Pastor? I was in every church service in 2023. I attended every Sunday. I have perfect attendance. And I say, yeah, but how has God changed you? If you cannot answer that question, then you've fallen captive to religious duty. And for what? Because it goes on to say here, we're supposed to keep them in our hearts. And then notice this. This is where the change comes. It says in verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So has it impacted your life? Are you just checking boxes? As we look at an intentional look to this next year, I'm not calling you to read the Bible through in a year. I'm not calling you to, though I will mention that it's important to be faithful in a church, I'm not calling you to simply check the box of being here every Sunday morning at 10:45. The greatest thing that we can do is that we can know God, and the greatest avenue that we can know God through is His Word. So if you placed a high priority on it, has it impacted and changed you? Have you listened to it? Have you inclined your ear to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I want to know who you are. So place a high authority on God's Word. Listen, incline your ear. Listen intently. Allow it to impact your heart and your life. That through 2024, at the end of 24, when I probably will preach a similar, if not the exact same sermon, you say, I saw that God was gracious. I saw that God was merciful. I saw that God was good amidst the tough, trying times of this world. So look back at this progress report. How did you do in 2023? How has God changed you to be more like Him? So number one, place a high priority on God's Word. Number two, consider your life. Consider your life. This is often where people want to start. They want to start with me. Hey, I got issues. Start with me. No, we start with God's Word, but we do want to be introspective at this time of year. Consider your life here. It says, verse 23 of Proverbs 4, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then it goes on to say, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Look at your life. What are the, and I don't have time to dig all into this, but we'll be talking about some of this stuff in our class, Loving Messy People, coming up in a few weeks. But when it says here, for out of it are the issues of life. Our actions reveal our hearts. Luke 6:45 says this, a good man out of the good treasure of their heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart bringeth forth that which is evil. And then it goes on to say this, for of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. You know why we burst out in anger? Heart problem. You know why we struggle with bitterness? Heart problem. You know why we respond the way we do? Because that's what's in our heart. And I don't have time to dissect each of these. But consider the things that flow out of your heart this last year. Here's just a list to maybe spur on. Though, as often as I've dealt with my life and my sin, and I've dealt with other people, Most people do not have to think, what sin do I struggle with? Pastor, give me a week and let me think about it, okay? So let's be honest. We all know the one or two sins. We all struggle with a variety of sins. But often our sin is catered to us in a sense. We all know what we struggle with. You don't sit here and say, let's see, anger. We all know. But here's a list to spur your thinking on if you need such list. Anger, control, greed, discontentment, selfishness, lust, relational struggles, marriage struggles, bitterness, unforgiveness. That's just to name a few. Not exhaustive, obviously. But the reason we struggle with that, it's a hard issue. So what's been flowing out of your life? Let's look back in 2023 and say, okay, what are the things that I have struggled with? It's important that we're honest with ourselves. If we sit here and we think, Pastor, I'm pretty good. Well, then you should probably come up here and I'll sit down there then. Be honest with yourself. Say, I struggle with this, Lord. I need help with this. So consider your sin. Dig down deep in your heart to know why. Why do you get angry? You get angry because, you know, someone just cut you off. Like, that's like on the Mass Pike. And you might say, well, Pastor, yeah. No, there's a deeper issue going on. Because I've ridden with people that get cut off and they don't get angry. So it's more than just that action. Maybe you say, well, it's, you know, the traffic, I get mad at traffic because it's going to make me late. Well, okay. What aspect of that? Often it goes to control is one of the kind of a hard issue there. That I need to organize my life so much that if anyone disorganizes it, I might be talking about some personal struggles at times. But dig down deep and say, Lord, what is the heart issue here? And once again, I don't have time to get into all this. Come Wednesday nights and we'll be talking more about this. And then it says here, as we look at our passage, it says, put away from the... And I know it uses this example of froward lips and froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. But give me the liberty, if I can, that we can put just about any sin in there, right? Put anger far from me, Lord. Lord, allow me to live the victorious Christian walk and get victory in this area and in this issue. Put it far from me. It says here, let thine eyes look right on and thy eyelids straight before thee. Understand your sin issue. Understand it's a heart issue. Then understand the changes that need to be made. Here it says, ponder the path of thy feet. And once again, this is all with applying God's truth and obedience in his word. But make the necessary changes in our life, our inner issues. If it's bitterness, you need to turn it over to the Lord. You need to pray to God. And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not going to say it's quick. I'm not going to say it's going to be a one-time thing. But understand and know that whatever that bitterness is, that leave it with the Lord. So make the necessary changes. Because if not, guess what? You're going to go through 2024, and if you don't make the changes, you're going to be in the same spot that you were now. I mean, how many of us have struggled with sins year after year? And we come to the same spot and we say, wow, Still struggling with that. Make the necessary changes. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't know what changes to make. Just give me a moment. We'll get there in a second. I always, I don't know if anybody ever listens to like the Dave Ramsey show or any of those guys. And people are in debt. And I love how simplistic some of those guys talk. You know, these people call up, yeah, I'm in, you know, $200,000 of debt. And they're like, what's your car loan? Oh, I got an $80,000 car. And they're like, sell the car. It's like, but you know, it's a real, sell the car. But you don't, sell the car. And that's really sometimes like how the Bible is, right? Like we're discontented with our life and the Bible says, you know, we want to complain and you can go to the book of Philippians says, don't murmur. Yeah, but you don't understand. Don't murmur. Now there's more to it, I understand. But oftentimes, a lot of our issues come from simply just obeying Scripture and trusting God. Now, it does get a little bit messy as we walk through it, but a lot of it is going back to that first step. God's Word. Put a high authority on God's Word. And trusting God. An author I read is Michael Hyatt. He writes in his book, Best Year Ever. He says, and this is talking about just goal planning. He says, great results don't just happen. We often usually drift to a destination that we would not have chosen. Instead, you need to be intentional and force yourself to get clear on what you want and why it's important. Then pursue a plan of action that accomplishes your objective. I'll be honest, most regular Christianity in 2023 or 2024, we just drift. We just kind of float and, okay, I'll do that. But we're not intentional about our Christian growth. We're not purposeful. We're not saying, Lord, I want to know you. I want to cling to you. I want to be like you. We often sometimes even pick up our old sin habits. Much like Proverbs 23:35, it says, and this specifically talking about drunkenness here. But once again, any sin, it says, they have stricken me, and shalt thou say, I was not sick, they have beat me, and I felt it not. And when I awake, I'll seek it yet again. How many times have we seen the hurt that our sin has done to us and to others around us? And we look at it and we say, well, that's awful. And then we go right back to it. Whether it's like here, the drunk, or whether it's the sin of lust, bitterness, anger. Once again, you know your sin. I don't have to get up here and, you know, help you figure out your sin. But we often we just say, okay, yeah, that's awful. Yeah, what a shame. Yep, man, I really, oh, yeah. And, or, you know, we'll come to an end of a service, even like this one, and say, oh, I really want victory over that. I really want to try. And then tomorrow we're picking it right back up again. So place a high authority on God's Word. And then examine our life and see what is our sin that we're struggling with. And then make a plan. So here's some practical steps here in the last 10 minutes. It says here in Proverbs 4:26, it says, ponder. That's the word to meditate, think, allow to settle in your mind the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. I love Job in the Bible. It said that he escheweth evil. And that word means that he avoided evil, but it carries the idea that he has a forethought to avoid that evil. He thought through, I need to avoid this evil. So it's not just avoiding it. Let's say it's not like when a deer crosses the road and you swerve to avoid it. No, it's kind of saying, I'm going to make a plan to travel and I don't want to go through this city because of traffic, so I'm going to go around it. That's kind of that idea of avoiding evil means, to plan ahead of time to avoid it. Here we get a similar idea. Ponder the path thy feet. So when we think about our sin, we think about our lives, we think about our relationship with God's word, think through the steps of your life. Be intentional. Don't be someone that life just comes at you and then you decide what to do. Think through it and say, I'm going to make intentional steps to walk the Christian walk and to live the Christian life. Similar to, as I've already mentioned, some financial illustrations, but similar to retirement. Most people, if they're going to save, they're going to have to be intentional about it. You know why? Because money likes to disappear quite quickly at times. You go to the store and say, hey, I'll eat a candy bar. I'll do this. And so people, this is why we have a whole sector of financial planners, okay? Because we are so bad at planning for money that we have to go to other people to tell us what we could very easily do but don't. So we need to be planning when it comes to the Christian walk. We need to think through. We need a plan. So here's some practical things, and I hope these are a help to you. First and foremost in our plan is placing God first. And this is, we will speak because this is the theme of Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. You need to put God first place in your life. You are not the driver of your life. You are not the king of your life. You need to put God as first place. You need to say, I will seek God first in every area of life. Maybe you even need to memorize Matthew 6:33. We sang that song, Take My Life and Let It Be. That song goes on to say, Lord, in my feet, you're first place. I'm going to go where you want me to go. With my mouth, you're first place. I'm going to say what you want me to say. My silver, my gold, you're first place. The very practical thing is to simply make God first. Say, God, you're number one. And I will follow you in every area of life. And this kind of goes back to placing a high authority on God's word. So the practical step here is you need to get in God's word. And still don't like the word activity, but the little activity that we're going to do tonight is going to help us do that, of simply writing out a plan of how we're going to get in God's word. But we know this, once again, if I just say, I'll read my Bible, well, when does that happen? Because much like money, the same thing happens to minutes. They fly, right? You get to the end of the day and you say, wow, where did the time go? And most of us, if I don't read my Bible before 10 o'clock, it's not happening. I mean, because at the end of the day, I'm tired, I'm going to go to bed. Let's just be honest. So you have to get in God's word. You need to be in here. It is life for us, as that verse had told us. It says here, 1 Peter 2, 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. How do I grow? I grow by God's word. So practical, I guess maybe let me reorient these because I got my list out of order. Practical step number one, simply place God first in your life. Practical step number two, get in God's word, okay? Number three, pray. Number three, spend time in prayer. Spend time communing with the God of gods and Lord of lords. The Bible says we can come boldly, confidently before the throne of grace. Okay? Number four. And this is kind of a summary of what we have just said, but write down what sins you struggle with. Write down what sins you struggle with. And then along with this, kind of like 4B, but well, I'll just say 5. Then find scripture that speak to that sin. So if I struggle with unforgiveness, I'm going to use Ephesians 4:32. If I struggle with complaining, I'm going to go to Philippians 2. Don't know the verse, but it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. If I struggle loving someone else, 1 John speaks much about that, about loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. But I'm going to answer my sin with Scripture. I'm going to answer my sin with Scripture. Okay? Number next. I don't know what I gave you, but number next, because I rearranged what I actually wrote out here. But number next. Attend church regularly. Attend church regularly. I know I gave you some contrast. It's not just church attendance, but church attendance is great. Attend church regularly. Just say, I am going to be faithful in attending church at 10:45 Sunday morning. I'm going to be faithful in coming to church. There's a lot of application here. I don't have time to get into it, but it gives us an opportunity to worship with one another. It gives us an opportunity to hear God's word. It gives us an opportunity to pause during the busyness of life to sit for an hour or hour and a half and really zero in and focus on God. So attend church regularly. And then number next, find community with believers. Find community with believers. So this kind of goes beyond than just Sunday AM, right? Who am I going to reach out to? Because not only should we be honest with one another or with ourselves, but we should be honest with one another. Once again, I love goal setting, and the author Michael Hyatt talks about how a key component is to share your goals and dreams with other people. So share your goal of, hey, I want to get victory in this area, or I'm really struggling in this area. So find a community within our church. So community can look in a number of different ways. Sunday night, we're going to be starting Nehemiah here in 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. And we're going to have an opportunity to study the book of Nehemiah together. And then after our study, we take time to do prayer groups. And I'll just say from personal, like Matt, like if you can remove that, this is like also like an announcement about it, but it is, as a church member, as Matt, as a church member, has been greatly encouraged that I can get around with 2 or 3 guys and we can pray about things. I can talk about what I'm struggling with and then we spend a few minutes in prayer. Well, what a great opportunity. So we have Sunday nights. We have Lady Morning Bible study. Wednesday night will be a little bit of that, a little bit probably more academic, but we have men's breakfast. Find connection and community with somebody. I don't know if you've ever heard of the story. Aaron Ralston, who, this is a number of years ago, but was out hiking by himself and ended up falling into a ravine and pinning his arm. And he was out there by himself and ended up having to... after being there almost a week under this boulder, he ended up cutting off his arm. And there's a whole movie on it. I've never seen it. But just the importance of, if he would have had someone else with him, could have saved him a lot of struggle, right? Christian, I am telling you as a pastor, and I'm telling you from experience, to have somebody else to walk beside you in the mountains and in the valleys is so important. Because most of us, Matt included, we deal with the issue of pride and we say, well, I can't share my struggles with somebody. They'll reject me. They'll mock me. They'll think that I'm, you know, the worst Christian around. But the reality is, we're all in this together. And as a church, we are called to walk side by side one another. That we can celebrate together when there's celebrations. We can mourn together when there's sorrows. But as the book of Ecclesiastes says, that, hey, two are better than one, because when one falls, another one can help him up. Galatians 6 talks about the importance of ye which are spiritual and to help restore those that are fallen. Find community with believers. Find connection. One of my friends, Josh, who is one of the person that I do share most, if not everything with, he was encouraging people at the end of the year to run a virtual 5K. And so he kind of reached out and he's kind of setting this up. And just that impact of, hey, there's a few of us getting together, we're going to run, and none of them were around here. We're going to run on the 30th just to kind of end the year. Even that little bit of community to run a little 5K was a little bit of community to say, hey, make the right decision. Make the right decision. Now, after I ran the 5K, I didn't feel like it was the right decision. But even much more in our Christian walk, have two or three people to say, hey, let's do this together. Let's, you know, now we may not struggle with the same things. Someone over here might struggle with discontentment, and someone over here might struggle with pride, and someone might struggle with control. But you know what? It's, you know, I'm going to answer with Scripture, and you're going to answer with Scripture. We're going to stir and spur people on to continue. Men and women that struggle alone with their sin, or that are alone with their sin and struggle, will often stay there, and their sin will often progress. You might achieve victory on your own, but it's rare. So what's stopping us from simply asking another brother or sister in Christ for some help along our Christian journey? Another practical step here is to read a book on whatever we're struggling with. But the big ones are getting into God's Word, attending church, and finding community. So as we look back at last year and look forward to this year, I hope that we can say in 2024, I'm going to place a high authority on God's Word. I'm going to desire to get victory over my sin. And then I'm going to take the practical steps to make those changes. So in just a moment here, Jeremiah is going to come in and lead in a final hymn. But I want just a moment of silence before we do that. I want you to take time to turn these things over to the Lord. Lord, help me. Whatever those practical steps are, maybe there's one that's harder for you than another, and maybe you say, I really need to work on that one. But in the next just 2 or 3 minutes, just take some time and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, would you help me that at the end of 2024, that I look more like you? than I do today. Dear Heavenly Father, as we take just a few moments, Lord, I pray that you allow each of us just to pray with what you have maybe inputted into our lives or maybe what has stood out to us. Lord, I do pray that we would ponder the path of our feet. And Lord, so I pray that we would just take a few moments now in silence and pray to you. Lord, thank you so much for, Lord, the blessings of 2023. Lord, thank you that, Lord, maybe we as Paul can say, I put those things behind me of maybe the hurts. Lord, I pray that you would help us as Christians, Lord, not to be ones that simply drift, but Christians that say, I'm not drifting, I'm headed to a destination. That destination is Christ-likeness. Lord, I pray that we put a high authority on your word. Lord, allow it to reign and rule in our hearts in every area. Lord, I pray that we would look into our hearts and look at the things that we need to change, Lord, and be honest with ourselves and others. Lord, then help us as we make a plan, and Lord, that as we continue to progress into this new year, Lord, that you would just miraculously change us as an individual, Lord, and Lord, if each of us just took a few steps closer to you, this year, Lord, not only would that impact us as individuals, but Lord, what a difference would be made in our church. So Lord, we come to you. We ask for your help in our weakness. We ask for your grace and when we fail. And most of all, we thank you for your love that you sent your Son to mend our broken relationship. In Jesus' name, amen.